Welcome, everyone. It's our Circle of Life mentor call, and we're talking about creative ways to work with our clients, our coaching clients, and our groups. It's December 10th, 2009. So welcome, everyone.
Thank you.
And you can, to mute and unmute, you do the same thing, star 6, and then to come out of it, you do the same thing, star 6. So I'll just go over a couple brief points and then, you know, ask questions and get some ideas from each other. So I sent you a couple things that I find would be really helpful in working with clients and with groups. Some of the things the coaches sent about some different processes and ideas of working with people, you know, having them do some things like an exercise. I really like Roxanne's exercise about bouncing back with a ball, because I had just sent before that this whole work by Barbara Fredrickson about positivity. And I like the positivity work because it's, to me, it's kind of simplistic and kind of, you know, we all kind of know about it, but it has a way of helping us to help ourselves and help our clients not get into like just a happy, you know, blissed out state, but to get into a open, receptive state of mind, which makes it much easier to be happier, healthier, and to attain our goals. And she talks about really wanting the ratio to be kind of 3 positives to every 1 negative in a day. And that ratio will keep you in a much more healthy state. You're able to, you know, be more resilient. You have more capacity. When in coaching, we always want to work with people's capacity. We want to build on what's their strengths or their energy. And so we want to start with things that give them. And as I've, you know, I've always stated to all of you, I focus a lot on energy management and energy flow rather than time management, and to look at what gives people energy. So that is something you could be doing with your group, because there's the, they can do the test on the website. They have the internet access. They can fill that out, and it could be something you do with your groups to help them, no matter what they're working on, to increase their capacity, again, to be able to make that shift. And we all know that when we feel more open, that we're just more likely to, you know, our vision, our attention, our kind of antenna is out for more opportunities. It brings our energy up. When our energy's up, our body is healthier. And so there's simple things like it doesn't have to be, like I said, really happy, but it can just be, oh, maybe silly or feeling close or feeling confident or feeling grateful or appreciative or playful. Any of these qualities that you can help people to encourage them to practice and to be aware of. And again, coaching is so much about awareness, because when we're aware, can see what our needs are. So I really like that. And then I saw Roxanne had this little exercise, which was fun, with the ball and bouncing back. And I like that, because I like things that people can do in your groups. It's physical and playful and gets people in that state rather than talking about it, just get people experiencing it. And that's a really great mind-body practice. It gets their brain working, they're laughing, and they're affirming what it is they want. And I'm going to be sending you also, I just haven't gotten it PDF form yet, but I have it ready to go, probably ready tomorrow, is I am creating what I find in my work, or maybe it's just my focus for me, I'm writing a whole, a little booklet and a whole process, and I call it The Power of No, and the power of K-N-O-W, the power of now, and the power of no, because it's actually a gas that's created in your body, that the initials are N-O, that give you a feeling of expansiveness and well-being. And so I always find that what people really want to do is be able to tap into their inner knowing to make decisions and to go with what's really right for them and to know what's really right for them and then to have the courage to do that. So I'm sending just a couple simple processes that I will be, you know, elaborating on in my upcoming program, but I just wanted to share it with you about just an intuition exercise so that people can, for 1 week, they practice following their intuition and they make notes about that. And when people do that, they start becoming aware of how much their intuition really is talking to them or what are the barriers to them paying attention to that, to their intuition. Is it a fear of listening to it or feeling like they're not, you know, trusting that or they're not fully aware? So it helps people to really tune into the fact that they are really, they have a healer within, they have the power within, they have the answers within. Everyone's gifted with the same power to access source information, intuition. We came that way. We came equipped that way. And that helps people to make decisions about their life when they can tune into their own internal guidance. So I always like to do with my groups or my clients is, no matter what they're working on, is to have something where they're tapping into their inner knowing. And so we have an exercise that I'll be sending to you just for 1 week, noting just at least once a day what their intuition is saying to them, asking their, you know, doing a little process to tune into their intuition, and then taking an action step, and that action step may be being quiet, or that action step may be going out and doing something for 7 days, and then just noting how that went. And another exercise I have is noticing every day, writing down 3 ways you feel the universe, God, life is supporting you in your intentions. To be noticing the small, subtle messages or ways that you notice that you're being supported for your intention in the big ways. And again, whatever we tune into becomes our reality. And whenever we see that we're being supported and we focus that way, it creates more positivity. And when we're more positive, we are more successful and we're just going to be making better choices. So that's another exercise I have people do for a week. Because our nature, we were designed in the book Happiness for No Reason by Marcy Shermoff, she talks about how we were designed, we are wired for bliss, but we were also designed for survival. And that we tend, our negative, fearful thoughts tend to be more like Velcro, and our good experiences tend to kind of slip and slide, just they're more like Teflon. And that we, because the negative were to help us survive, like remember that that's scary, or remember that's not a good thing to do, or remember, you know, don't be with that kind of person, or that's the way that our bodies have survived, and we don't really need that so much anymore, but we're still programmed for that. So to change that is a process, it's a practice. And when they ask the Dalai Lama, like, how do you stay so joyful when your country, your peoples have been, you know, massacred and you can't go back to your country, and how can you be so joyful? And he says, I choose joy every moment. And so when we're encouraging our clients, our groups, to practice things, not about being just like, again, happy face or, you know, like not honoring the fact that we have negativity and fear. Those are there for us too, to support us. But to just do simple things to activate hope and to focus on how am I being supported today with my intention? How have I noticed and to write that down? And the last exercise that I have that I'll be sending to you is just being present. How to have that note, have the person note just simple little note, write down being present, what that does for them. How often are they present? When are they present? What do they notice about being present? Because the present moment will tell us how to be and what to do. And if we're in the past or the future, so those are just some, you know, practices that I find empower people to access what's already there, no matter what goal they're working on. It's just something they can do along with their other action steps. You know, I call it mindfulness in motion, that they can do along with their other steps and just have it be like something that they share when they come back to the group. And, you know, people get encouraged and they get more enthusiasm and of course, you know, in a group process, people see like, wow, that really, you know, everybody's noticing, wow, I want to be more mindful, or wow, when I was, I noticed, you know, I am being supported in my intention, that I'm really, there is support for me. There's synchronicities, as Linda Crockett does with her groups. She said she had people look at their intentions and notice the synchronicities that kind of appear, that show up when they got focused on their intention, and how that, you know, brings encouragement and more energy towards their intention. So those are just a couple thoughts. And I had sent, if you look at the retreat information on the MP3 file and the PDFs, there are also some ideas used for retreats that you can use with groups. And I will also send you something called Goals at a Glance. I sent it to you before, but I'm going to resend it. There are some different focuses you can have with your group, no matter what they're working on. They can work a little bit simultaneously on something together. So kind of having a theme. So with that, I open that up to any questions or thoughts or anything you found successful or something you enjoyed when you were in a group, or any challenges you're having, you know, with that, or any other questions. Star 6 to unmute. Is this a questionless group?
Well, Rebecca, I have a question, but it's really way off of anything that we're talking about right now.
Who is this?
Jackie.
Yes, I thought it was. Hi, Jackie.
Hi.
Yes, okay, go for it.
Okay, so I have a corporate client who wants 15 to 20 minute consultations with employees to start with. So just trying to figure out, you know, where, what to do with that 15 to 20 minutes.
Sure. Yeah, I'd be glad to address that. Real simple thing. It's, you know, it's not like a full coaching session, but as you know, when you were doing your peer coaching,
mm-hmm.
How much you got done in 15 minutes. So
well,
you could, you know, you could have them fill out their blueprint for success and just go over that, or you can make a real simple one where you just have them state what's your goal, what's a challenge you have in fulfilling that goal. And what are some possible action steps, and what's one action step you'd like to take next week? And then just have accountability. I mean, it's really profound how just those three questions, you know, what is a goal that you have? What's something you'd like to change? What brought you to this coaching session? Is there something you'd like to improve or change, or that's bothering you that you'd like to, you know, take to a new level or shift, or you don't know how to handle, or a challenge you're experiencing, you know, what would you like to work on or focus on? And then helping them even craft the goal might be, you know, what you do in the first 15 minutes. Is in this session, we're just going to see what it is you're really wanting to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because a big part of coaching is helping to clarify, right?
Right.
So our first 15 minutes, we may spend, some people know what they want right away. Most people need some clarification. So we'll spend the time getting to see what it is you'd like to work on. Like when you thought of, when you heard about this coaching, what were you interested in focusing on? Was there something that you're interested in? And if they could look at the circle, they don't even have to fill it out if you don't have time for them to do that. I just did a really quick program for a company recently. I mean, it was like Circle of Life on speed. It was I sent them the circle, and I just had them list. I didn't have them color it or anything. It was executives. They didn't want to. They thought it was too, you know, they didn't have time for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just said, look at the circle, and just as you're looking at it, list two of your top highest scores. Like, what are your two top strengths or the two areas that you're most satisfied with in your life and the two areas that you're the least satisfied with? And then, so they didn't have to, you know, color it or fill it or anything. They just looked at them. They just looked at the visual, and then they wrote that down. Then I had them come back, and it was a group of seven people, and we did we did 3 one-hour sessions, and it was two half-hour sessions. I mean, they were broke up in three and then four. So it was like three people in a half an hour and then four people in a half an hour. And so I said, what are your top areas that you're satisfied with or your strengths? And I just had them discuss that. So what's working? Why is that working for you? To always, you know, what's working? Why is it working? Tell me about that. And then what area, if you're looking at that circle right now, your entire life or 12 dimensions of your life, is there any area that you feel like you really want to pay attention to in the next couple to 3 months? Rather than saying what was your lowest score, I just said, is there any area in that circle that you'd like to focus on in the next couple months as we're doing this coaching? And then they pick something. I said, okay, our next thing is to find out if you'd like to, you know, if you'd like to focus on that, I did a very short version. Let's just look at that area and let's break it down into something that maybe a goal that you have for that area. And what I can do in our following sessions, which I did have brief sessions with them, is how to, you know, just to clarify what that goal is. So I tell people, sometimes we don't know what it is exactly we want, we just know what we don't want. So let's figure out what we don't want, what's bugging you. Like this person said, my boss, I mean, I had a private session a 15-minute session with somebody, and they said, well, my boss is driving me crazy. So, okay, so what would be a goal for you with that? I mean, are you feeling like you want us to keep working there? You know, why is it that you want to work on this? What is your goal for working there? And she said, well, I need to keep the job. I have a new boss for the last 6 months. I can't stand him. He's very demanding. He expects so much from me. I feel stressed all the time. I'm working extra hours. So let's keep working with this and find out something, a goal that you have for that. And she said, well, I want to get along with him better. And after we worked for a while, it was like getting along with him better, but also when it came down to it, is that she's probably not going to change him because he's very highly stressed because their business is struggling, like many businesses. But when we kept clarifying it, distilling it a little bit, it was, well, how can you be with him in a way that you're going to feel more comfortable and less stressed? Because he might not change, and you might not know how to get, you know, we'll look at how you can get along better with him so it's less stressful. And how can you take care of yourself in the midst of the fact that he may be like this all the time and not really even responding to some of the changes you're making? So we just kept, you know, working on what is something that's realistic she could do. So then So that we just talked about that, and that's what took up the 15 minutes, like talking about all the stuff that was bothering her, and then clarifying that she really wanted to go to work and not feel like so stressed out. And she said her boss was always, you know, asking her to do so much, and they're downsized, so she has more work than she's ever had, and she's not getting paid anymore. And so then we worked on, do you know, communication skills, like do you know how to do like the 6-part conversation where you give yourself empathy first, and then give empathy to your boss. I realize you want to get, we worked on a whole conversation about how to work with your boss. Again, giving him empathy. I understand you really want to get these things done. I know we're in a competitive field. I know that we're trying to manage many projects with less staff. So she was being empathetic to him. And she found that her boss really appreciated her, not just, he'd hand her something to do and just get it done, and then he'd get frustrated because it didn't get done, even though she was a good worker. And then when she was talking to him about it, and she could, give him empathy about his position, he was much more receptive. He felt really, he was stressed too. And so then they worked out, then she was able to give him empathy until he felt really heard. And then she said, are you open to hearing some of the things that are going on for me on this end? And he was very receptive because he'd already felt his need was met to be heard and validated. And then she talked about, I really want to do an excellent job. I've been here a long time. I really, da da da. So she able to work on communications. So, and if I didn't have those communication skills, I might refer her to communication skills. That was one of the steps she was going to take, and then it was how to communicate to him, then how to communicate with her family about this is a time that we have to shift things a little bit and delegate more to other people. And so we just kept working on it, and it was about a 6-week, 15-minute sessions. And she like had all these changes in those sessions.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me. It is possible to make some shifts and change that period of time.
Oh, absolutely. It was 6 weeks with 15-minute calls with her, and she feels like she wrote me like this. We really, it was like 3-4 steps that she had each week, and a tool set she needed to practice. We practiced a little bit of the communications, like a little role play. I referred her to some different communication programs that she might want to, get more involved in to really get practice and feel confident. And, in those six sessions, she just, the company gave me this raving review, and to me it was like so brief.
Right.
6 15-minute sessions. But not everybody, like I had 7 to 8 people. And out of those, probably 5 of them really felt like some significant change, and 2 of them really weren't ready to work on anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always the case. The bell curve, remember?
Yeah.
The bell curve is like whenever you're doing a group or even working with clients or giving a workshop, on one end, people are going to think, oh, you are like a loser. I hate this program. This sucks. Get me out of here. And the other spectrum is like, oh, my God, this is like the most powerful process. And most people fit in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And so those 15-minute calls, just again, as you were practicing with your peer calls, you can see that just having 15 minutes of uninterrupted time right there is just to be listened to.
Mm-hmm.
And just be listened to that. And this other person, I don't think I hardly said a word, but for 15 minutes, he got to talk without being interrupted.
Right.
And the end, I said, is there an action you'd like to go forward with? And he just, by hearing himself speak, he knew what he needed to do. He just needed a sounding board.
Mm-hmm.
So some people, and, you know, as you're coaching, you kind of find out, well, would you like some ideas or options, or would you like just to spend the time just kind of discussing this so we can see, you know, maybe you already have some ideas, you just need some support in crafting it into an action step that you can take, that you can measure, that you know what to do. And I can support you by having a couple action steps so you know that you're moving forward in the direction rather than just feeling kind of paralyzed or stuck or in chaos or lost. And
okay.
You know, that's does that help?
Yeah, it does. It's a great reminder for me.
And is there anybody else that has any comments about that, like when you were being coached, when you're peer coaching or any? So, Jackie, do you feel complete with that? Because I could, you know.
I do.
Okay.
Thank you. Uh-huh.
You're welcome. Well, great success with that.
Thank you.
This is Aspira. I know I didn't announce myself. And
hi,
I just kind of got on. Hi. I just wanted to let you know how amazing it is to hear you, Rebecca, and your coaching is still extraordinary.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm inspired all over again.
Oh, good.
Because I've been one of those somewhere in the gray spot hanging out with other survival pieces, but I'm just re-inspired.
Oh, that's great. Well, we all need, you know, and a lot of times I'm coaching people and it's just to, you know, spend time being accepting where they are. You know, like for me, I feel like for me when I've been coached, when somebody just accepts me where I am, it's like huge medicine for me because sometimes I just feel really deeply stuck. I do feel lost. And I'm just in a pattern, and somebody being present with me without judging me and acknowledging some strengths or just being helping me to accept and embrace and value just my essence is very, very powerful and doesn't happen very much in our lives. So it can be, you know, all that full range. And as a coach, you start kind of finding out when you're working with people what it is they need. And you can ask them too, which is in this call, would sometimes I tell people if you just want to talk for a while, let's just, you know, see what's going on. And then as a coach, we can talk about options, but we'll always end with a direction and an action step that you'll be taking. And then something that you can be successful at, but is moving forward. And so you can use this time however you want. These are some ways that I have to offer. And then, you know, they kind of, after a first or second session, they get who you are and they kind of can determine it for themselves. So thank you, Aspira. Anyone else, a question or anything that they've, any challenges they're having or any ideas that you saw that you want to integrate and you don't know quite how to integrate them?
This is Lola. I just want to thank you for keeping me caught up so that I know what's going on, and I've been able to attend some things and other things not necessarily so, but thank you for, I just want to, since there's sort of a little break, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Lola. Welcome. And so and when you're working with your groups, because different people, you know, process differently, I had a couple new clients recently. One woman, I worked 20 years with people with life-threatening diseases and actually, you know, with 15 people as they passed over. And it was a big part of my work is working with that huge transition and with their families before and afterwards. And so then I quit doing that for about 7 years. And then it's just been coming back in my life. And so I had a new client, and I saw after working with her after a couple sessions, I realized that she's very kinesthetic. So for her, when we did like Qigong or prayers where we were moving and breathing and clearing, that really worked much better for her than talking. And other people, it's visualization and deep relaxation, or their auditory and it's words. And other people, it's writing. And other people, it's making a collage or doing a piece of art. And or some people, it's by connecting with others, they're hearing and social. And then the doing things like the Qigong and the movements. And at my last training, National Wellness, I did a little process with to keep everybody's brains working is to have everybody have like two lemons, and with those lemons they would juggle for a couple minutes, and then they would also throw them to each other using opposite hands. And what happens is it gets your brain working, your breathing, your moving. So that really helps the body, the brain, and the kinesthetic. And then the writing down of things, and then you saw in a couple of the processes the coaches shared, one woman talked about painting, you know, bringing paints and having people draw a picture of themselves or paint a picture of themselves. And a lot of times you're in a group and you're going to see what people are more receptive to, too, because, you know, you're not going to do, like, painting at your corporate organizations. But you have to kind of see where people are at in your time frame. But anytime you do engaging exercises, that's why relating to each other is so good, is it just brings out another part of that person's ability to sense, receive, connect. And so every time I would work with a group, every session I try to incorporate something that worked with the way that they received information. That's called NLP or PLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming. So for those who are listeners, I'd have music and talking. Other people are writing, they're visual, and I'd have visual pictures. And those who are kinesthetic, we have movement. So you want to incorporate different things, and so at the end of every session or group, they go, oh, the part I really loved was, you know, the Qigong. The other person said, I can't stand that part, but I loved it when we were talking to each other and people were sharing. And that's why you want to involve different parts of different aspects into your groups and when you're working with individuals. So here I was working with this new person who's actually got just a remission from her cancer, kind of an absolute miracle. So we just spent a lot of time with her, is accessing her inner guidance and really working at creating a complete ritual and create a complete prayer and connection to source. That's what we've worked on. And she just called me yesterday, got this fantastic report. She has no more cancer, without any chemotherapy, and so it just took me a couple sessions to see how does she process energy. And so we did a lot of movement. So any questions or comments? Such a quiet group.
I know we all probably had to unmute. This is a Spiro. In our group, we've had a couple of clients who have recovered from cancer, and we've used reprogramming of the way people think and see things, and then use energy healing, which brings the source in and visualize things. But it's really about what they believe. If they are not choosing life, sometimes people aren't aware that they think they are, but truly, is it on all levels congruent? I just helped with the hospice of a person who died in our group that, of course, she had it for 8 years and ignored it, and it was just, it's just to be aware of the signals when they're really giving up, when their words say they aren't, but their energy is, their commitment and their energy is, and then how far are they beyond what is their capacity to reclaim
all the health that they've lost. You know, I don't know if that makes sense at all. What would you do in those situations? I know I didn't mention many of them.
So what was the exact question?
Someone who is saying, oh, we're going to do this, and she had gone through chemotherapy, and then she had the surgery, and then she thought she was done. She was really up, and she was really inspired and thought she had it lit, but she had metastasis to her spine and her liver, and then she had to go through radiation, and then chemo again, and it was almost as if she had given up and she just didn't want to do it anymore.
Yeah. Well, there's a few things. There's, people go through different levels, and we don't know exactly sometimes what it is they need for support, and that's why I often ask, even in my coaching sessions, or, you know, I just say, what would be supportive to you right now? When I ran probably about 8 cancer groups and 2 AIDS groups, and when we get in circle, I'd say there's all these ways that you can spend, you know, everybody gets, you know, anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes each, and you can use your time however you want, and we can do anything. Like, you can be in the center of the room, and we can just put hands around you, and just, you know, I can put on beautiful music, and we send prayers to you. We can put our hands on you. We can just, you know, pray with you. We can listen. We can, you know, if you want ideas about some other options, what would you like, what support would be, what kind of support do you want right now? And then when a person's, you know, I've had people that passed away too, and it's great if you can ever have some people that have experienced some kind of healing or remission to come in and speak to your group. Mm-hmm. So I always had people that were in my previous groups, or I'm a cancer survivor myself of 35 years, and but I like to have people come in who've gone through that, who got really discouraged and come in. That's one thing. The other is being with the person, saying, you know, this is really, like, scary, and, you know, we just are with you right now, and just we're just loving you right now. And we are here with you for whatever is going on for you, and, you know, just acknowledging how scary and intense and how hard it is when you're not feeling very hopeful.
Okay.
Because, again, from what I've experienced is that when people are just met where they're at, you can, you know, kind of see what their words are. Like, if they can say, I'm discouraged, or if you want to use their words, I think you can say, I imagine you might feel, you know, just maybe really discouraged or scared, or how would you describe how you're feeling right now? Then it's their words. And so we can, you know, we're just, we all understand, you know, we are here with you, and we have so much compassion for what you're going through right now.
And so, how would you handle someone in denial that they're not really seeing, that they only want to see part of it and not want to see some crucial pieces of it?
Well, when people are in denial, that's their path. And that is, you know, that's their journey, and that really doesn't have anything to do with the coach. The coach is, that's the beautiful thing about being a coach or a facilitator, is that you're creating a safe environment and creating options for experiences for that person to experience their own source, their own connection, their own path, their own journey. And part of, I just trust that whatever's happening with the person is exactly what's supposed to be happening. So if they're in denial, I trust that is what is supposed to be, because that's what's happening. You know, that's, you know, like what Byron Katie says, reality is my God. And so creating options for those who want that, and accepting when that isn't happening, because then we are acknowledging the, you know, that that person is really right on the right path, because that is what's going on for them, is that they're in denial. And you don't say that, but you just accept that. And also, you know, there's a way that we have an idea about how a person's life's supposed to be, or an agenda, or and really, that's just really, it's very looking at life from a very finite perspective rather than kind of a soul view or infinite view. And so I just trust that a person's like that, that is exactly what's supposed to be happening. And I'm just there for whatever's up. I'm there if they want to, if they're in denial, I'm there to be encouraging for what's, you know, the beauty of that person's soul and who they are, and kindness. And then those who want to go into bigger journeys, that's great. I'm there for that. And here's some options for that. And I just give trust to the process. I give trust to their inner self. I give trust to God. And that's really the coach's role. It isn't to try to have any agenda about what's supposed to happen. You're just partnering with that person to where they want to go, where they're willing, able to go.
Okay. That's great.
But thank you for sharing that. And I've definitely had a lot of agenda for people, definitely on a regular basis. But I just know that that's not, you know, that's just not the, my role in life.
I have another question, unless someone else would like to ask a question.
Yeah, let's see if anybody else has a question or comment. Okay, why don't you go ahead?
Okay. It's sort of fundamental, but what if, say, I'm not in a good place to be listening? How
mm-hmm.
would I shift how would I shift that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that'd be great for the group to speak to. Would anybody talk about when you're not in the mood for listening and it's required to listen? What do all of you do when you're, you know, just not in the space to listen?
Hi, this is John.
Hi, John.
Hi. Well, one of the things that, for me, that is very helpful is first to see that I'm not in a space where my personality, John, is not where he'd like to be. And as soon as I recognize that, then I have a choice. And when I have that choice, what is most helpful is to simply connect with the body. And that could be facial expression or registering one breath or noticing that I have feet. Those are the most helpful and immediate for me, is to connect with the body some way. And then what happens for me is when that connection is made, even if it's a small connection, there's more energy. And when there's more energy, then I have the opportunity to see that my reactivity the moment before is just seeing that and having this conversation is an opportunity to step into something called being present. And I just can't, so many experiences where John is reactive or feeling out of it, and then the person that I'm resisting all of a sudden is my great opportunity to step beyond myself. So that just happens over and over again.
Mhm.
Yeah.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Because we all experience it. Kelly, can you speak to that? You must go through that regularly. Star 6 to unmute. Well, maybe Callie is not on the line anymore. Anyone else? What do you do when you're just feeling like maybe resistance or you just feel like you're not up for listening? Sounds like somebody's trying to get through. I'll just say a couple of things I do, and then if anyone else, please join in. A couple of things I do is just like I was talking about the communication, the six-part conversation is, number one, you start with self-empathy. So I give myself empathy. I go remove myself for a couple moments, and I give myself empathy for my need right now. Maybe I need quiet myself, or maybe I need to be listened to. Or I just recognize what my need is right now. Like, oh, right now I'm feeling tired and my need is to have some, you know, fresh energy. Or I'm feeling frustrated and I'm having the need to just feel like there's some order in my life. Or whatever it is, kind of recognizing what your own need is and doing quite a few deep breaths with that to bring yourself back to center or peace. And then, again, then you can go be more empathetic with the person because you've already acknowledged yourself. You've already given yourself some compassion or empathy. And the other thing is when I feel to find out what that need is and see if I can take care of it. So if I need to be listened to, call a friend or a, you know, peer coach or somebody that I could just be listened to for a few minutes, because sometimes that's what I need is 5 or 10 minutes of somebody just being present with me or taking a walk or doing the self-care. What can shift your energy, like John was saying, getting into your body and breathing and feeling your feet, things that we can do that shift your energy. And once you've shifted, then you're usually fine. So those are a couple things that I do. So any more comments or questions? All righty. Well, I think we're going to wrap up then. I will be sending some more emails as they come, and if anybody has any ideas they want to send in, I'll add them to the sheet. And I hope that some of these ideas were helpful. Thank you to all the coaches that sent their great ideas. And just, again, email any questions or comments that you have.